I want to say again, I guess we could say this not only the week before, but the week after. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope you had a great time with family and friends and however you celebrated Thanksgiving. I just got to say it again, though. I am so thankful for you. You're just some of the best people, I think, on the planet. And I'm so glad that we get to do life together. And so hope that you're ready just to get into this season as we get into the Christmas season. Actually, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I don't know. I just, ever since I came home from college that first time away from home and had been without mom's cooking for a period of time and got to come back into the kitchen and open that refrigerator up and sit down to that big turkey and all that stuff, you know, I just love it. I love it, love it, love it. And it just seems to be a lot more simple than some of the other holidays and everything goes around it and all the swirl and whirl. But I'm just so thankful that I just, in fact, I said last week, it's kind of funny, I said, right now we usually do our messages in series, but we're doing a standalone, and I said, I'm doing a standalone last week, and then I said, I'm going to do another standalone that's part of that standalone this week. So that kind of makes a series, doesn't it? Okay, it's two-part standalones, okay? But anyway, we're just really excited about what I believe God is having to share today. But before I say anything else and go any further, let me just say a heartfelt welcome to all those that are watching online. Come on, everybody. Give it up to those that are here online with us. And it's amazing how people are checking us out and tuning in, even from just all around the world, for that matter. And so we just welcome you and glad to have you along for the ride. I want to jump right into this message series. Got some great stuff that I believe is going to be a blessing to you today. Last week we talked about being thankful, and we broke that word out to be full of thanks, thankful. And I share with you that today we're going to be talking about what it means not only to be thankful, but to be thanksgiving. You say, well, no, that's an event. You can't be thanksgiving. Well, we're going to talk about that and what it means to be thanksgiving. And I want to begin with this scripture that's found in Psalm 100, in verse 4, that says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Again, it says that we are to be thankful or full of thanks. Let me just go kind of expand that out. God wants your life to be full. So we need to have a life that is full. Of course, we're full of thanks because God has filled our life to the full. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and 10 when he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So, you know that Thanksgiving thing with the horn of plenty? You know what that is? That, you know, that I don't, it's kind of a basket weave kind of thing in shape of a horn, and it has all the fruit in it, and it pours out onto the table, and usually when you see them, there's not just stuffed of the horn, it's actually comes, there's an overflow out of that, right? And I believe that's the way God wants our life to be. He wants our life to be full and overflowing. Can I get a good amen? Anybody want to be blessed today? I mean, don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want to be full? Well, Jesus promises that our life can be full, and that's what he came to do, that we might have life and that we might have it to the full. Now, what I shared with you was actually the New King James Version of that scripture, Psalm 100, where it says, be thankful to him. But in the NIV, it words that just a little bit different. Let me look at that with me, if you would, for a moment. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Then it says, give thanks to him and praise his name. So the first one version says, be thankful to him. Another one says, give thanks to him. And I know that might be a little technical play on words there, but I want us to kind of break this down. So we can be thankful, and that's what we talked about last week. It's an attitude of gratitude, but be thanksgiving, and underline that word giving, there's in there an attitude of generosity. So let me say it this way. A right attitude, which is an attitude of gratitude, the right attitude leads to the right action, and that action is an action of generosity. An attitude of gratitude leads to an action of generosity. Are y'all with me? Okay? All right? So, in other words, let's just back up and do a very brief review. Last week we talked about the story in the Bible where there were 10 lepers who came to Jesus wanting to be healed, And when Jesus healed all 10 of them, only one returned to give thanks. 10 were cleansed, but only one of the 10 came back and returned. Now, we broke out there what happened, what followed that, and that was that while the 10 were cleansed, something different happened to the one that took the action of giving thanks. Now, I'm sure I would certainly hope that all 10 were thankful, but there was one that offered thanksgiving. So it moved from being full, just give me more, come on, give me more, fill me up, to now I'm ready not only just to be full, but now I've got something to give. And he moved from being returned from being thankful and to a different, come on, a different level to give thanks, right? And have thanksgiving and express that. And so here's what happened in Luke chapter 17 and verse 14. Again, this is review, and you've got notes there. You can take some of this down if you'd like. There's no fill in the blanks today, but there's a blank sheet there for you provided in your worship guide. You can kind of jot some notes down because I believe I got some good stuff for you there today, okay? And so Luke chapter 17, verse 14, you can just note where this is. And it says this, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, that's what happened to the 10. But then to the one that came back, and Jesus said, where did the other 9 go? Weren't there 10 that were healed? Only this one came. Then he said this. In verse 19, he says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Another translation uses the word, instead of well, the word whole. So there was something different that happened to the one. The 9 received a healing. They were cleansed. But the one, there was a wholeness. So as we expressed last week, there was a completeness. So while 9 expressed their healing, experienced the healing, 1 experienced the healer, okay? So there's a difference. So we should not only be thankful, but we should be thanksgiving. Be thankful with an attitude of gratitude. We're full of thanks. We're blessed. We receive. We're full. But God wants to bless you and fill your life with good things. And here's the thing. Here's what you got to get. He wants your life to be filled with good things for a purpose. For a purpose. So the lepers were blessed, but the one met the blesser, right? They were healed, but one met the healer. So while they were blessed, and the one met the blesser, there's another third thing I want you to see today, and that is that then God wants us to go on to be a blessing. Are you getting this? Come on, right there's a good place for an amen. Come on, turkey and ham will be there when we, come on, right? One, so we go from being blessed to experiencing the blesser, and then once we experience the blesser, the blesser, we then become a blessing. And when you become a blessing to others, listen, you've moved from receiving to giving, right? And when you do that, you are more blessed. Put it to you this way. You move from being thankful to thanksgiving, you're more filled and you're more fulfilled. So you say, well, I just want to be thankful and be full. But when you move from being thankful to thanksgiving, guess what? You're going to be more filled and you're going to be more fulfilled when you do that. Let me give you a scripture that's found in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's a good verse right there, folks. So when we give, something miraculous happens. Yes, the other person receiving from us is blessed, but we are blessed in the process when we move from just being a receiver to being a giver. I just think when we give thanks, it does something to us. It opens us up. You know, a lot of times it's like, Lord, just give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy, 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 give me, give me, give me. You know, and we got our hands tight when it comes down. Yeah, it's mine. That's mine. Give it. It's mine. But when we give thanks, look what happens. Our hands open. Come on. Our life opens up. So I believe thanksgiving, listen, I believe it actually moves us into a realm of faith. Because when you acknowledge who he is and you acknowledge that he is the source of all you have and who you are, when you give him thanks, it is an expression of your faith to him. And when you do that, I believe it opens your life up to God being able to bless you even the more. So I want you to look with me at this scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Can't be cheerful about it, just keep it. It's not about God needs money from you. It's that God wants you, okay, right? And this is more than just about finances. Now, this deals in the realm of finances, but it goes further than that. We're going to talk about it. Look at this. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's what happens. God gets involved. It goes on to say, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be, look at this, be generous, right? Be thanksgiving, be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, there's a purpose there. So when others see that your life is a life-giving life, right? Not life-taking. There's takers and there's givers. But we are life-giving to others in so many ways we can talk about. What happens is people see God through us, and then they give glory to God. It connects them not just to us. It connects them to God. And that's a higher purpose. And throughout the Bible, you see this expression of giving thanks in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I might point out that even in the New Testament, it's warned that in the last days, one of the signs of the last days is that there will be those that are unthankful. I believe today we're living in a very individualistic society. You know, today it's career. What's in it for me? Now, at one point, it used to be, you know, very company-oriented. It's all about company. But nowadays, it's career. What's in it for me? I want what I can get out of it. We're very individualistic in our thinking. But there is an importance of gratitude. And I believe we all understand the importance of being grateful and being thankful. But I want us to also understand there's an importance in having the attitude of not only gratitude, but also of generosity. And we say, well, I'm not sure how that can be expressed in my life. I want to give you four different mindsets that often come with this area of our being generous. And the first is this. Write this down, if you would. Number one, and that is this mindset of the bag. The bag. And it's an attitude of it's not enough. It's not enough. In other words, I look into my bag of stuff, of what I have, and I say, I don't have enough to be generous. I mean, our focus is on what's in the bag. I don't have enough. I see that there's no way I can't make it when I just look at my stuff and I can see the reality. I don't have enough. I don't have enough time to help somebody else. I got more problems of my own. How could I help somebody else? How could I invest in somebody else's life? If you see my issues, I'm the one that needs help. Look in my bag. I'm the one that's lacking here. And so we look in our own bag. But I want you to look with me in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. It says this. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warmed. And he who earns wages to put into bags with holes. So what it's saying here is, in Haggai's day, they were saying, look, where is God? Nothing seems to be working. Nothing seems to be happening. And his answer to them was this, and that was that you need to consider your ways. Because here's what was happening in this context of this scripture, and the Bible brings it out and says, because my house lies in ruin while everyone runs to your own house. In other words, you're taking care of the interest of your house, but you're not taking care of the interest of my house, and it's not going to work that way. So in other words, you're concerned about your bag, what's in your bag, what's in your house, what's in your life, but we're not putting God first in our life. And so when we try to do it without him, it doesn't work. It runs out. There's leaks. Things break. Things break down. Get sick. You know, nothing, I'm not saying those things can't still happen, but when we honor God first, he has the ability to bless the rest. So God is saying, look, if you'll start providing for my house, I will take care of your house. Put it to you this way. If we would attend, and it's back to what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And that's really what salvation is about. It's about we put him first in our life. It's reordering our life to reflect that he is number one, that he is first in our life. So he comes before everything else. So he becomes first in our life. And when we do that, God will take care of everything else. So we take care of his house, he takes care of our house. In other words, we attend to God's business because our business is God's business. That's what our assignment is, to do what God's called us to do on this earth. God's business is then to take care of our business as we take care of his business, right? Are y'all with me? Come on. Good amen right there? I'll amen myself. All right, amen. All right, I'm just saying. All right, So nothing's going to work until we get things in right order, when we honor God first. And you say, well, I'm just looking at my situation. There was a guy in the Bible, and his name was Judas, and he was the bag holder. And he was always looking into the bag, saying, we need this, and we need this, and we're projecting ahead, and I see that this, and we need this. And he's looking into the bag. And there was another woman that didn't look in the bag but looked to Jesus, and she took an alabaster box and she broke it, and it was worth a life of wages, a year of wages, and Judas couldn't understand. I don't understand why you've done this. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. He was looking in the bag saying, this is foolishness. But I want to tell you, whenever you put God first, it's never foolishness. But whenever you leave him out, that's foolishness, right? So we gotta get past the bag mentality of saying that it is not enough. And so we must honor God and put God first in our life. So that's a bag mentality of it's not enough. There's another mentality, and that is the bin mentality. And that's, it's just barely enough, okay? Okay, I've got past the bag mentality, but now there's this bin mentality that says, I only have enough to make it myself, and I can barely make it. I could just hold it. You ever feel that way? 1 foot forward and 1 foot back. You know, you just can't ever seem to get ahead. And here's a story I want to share with you. Look at, first of all, in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 14. Let me just give you this verse, and then I'll explain it. The bin of flour shall not be used up. The situation in the context of this scripture, and that is that in the middle of a devastating famine, God sent the prophet Elijah to Zarephath, a widow that would feed him. And why did God send Elijah to a wealthy family? Because they didn't need a miracle, but she did. And when Elijah asked this woman for something to eat, she told him that she only had a handful of flour in a bin, and she had just enough for one more meal, and that her and her son was going to have that one meal, and then they were going to die. And the prophet comes along and says, I want you to make me a meal first. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, oh, yeah, the preacher wants to bleed me dry, get his, and here I will be without. No, actually, he was setting her up to step into the realm of an amazing miracle, into miracle territory. And so, but the first thing she had to do was overcome her fear of giving, because that's all she had. I can't give you what I can't give you this, because this is all I have. And here she was in this position where she had to get over this fear to trust God. And so she stepped out in faith and gave what she had. She obeyed God's word, saying, God, I'm going to honor you. And when she did, look at this. There was an amazing miracle that happened. And he prophesied over her that the bin of flour would never be used up. So in other words, every time she dipped into the bin of flour, there was more flour there. And he said, well, that's an old story. I'm telling you, it works. Today, it's for today. When you put God first in your life and you trust him and you put him first in every area of your life, There will always be what you need. God will always supply your needs. In fact, the Bible says he's never seen. David said, I was young, and I'm now old, and in all that time, in all my life, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. Because God is one that is faithful. He will take care of us. And not only is he faithful to us, he's faithful to his word, right? And his word says when we honor him, he's going to honor us, right? Another good place for a good amen right there. Y'all with me today? All right. So, the bin of barely enough. There's another mentality, and that's the mentality of the basket. The basket. Now we're getting somewhere. And that is, this mentality is that of there's more than enough. I'm going to give you a scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock. Look at this. The basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. So there's a word there saying that, look, when you honor God first, God's going to bless you and he's going to fill you. And when you look also in Luke chapter 6, it's put this way, a New Testament version of that. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be given unto you. And in the context of that, in those days, there was this harvest grain that they would collect in baskets. And what God was saying is, listen, when you honor me first, and when you put me first in your life, men, through many, many different means, but God's the source, are going to give unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let me give you an example of this in the New Testament, of this mentality. And that was where Jesus was at this time of ministering to a multitude of people, and the disciples looked around and said, these people are hungry and we need to send them away so they can get something to eat. And there was a boy who gave his lunch to Jesus. He gave his little basket lunch to Jesus to feed 5,000 people. And afterward, I want you to look what happened in chapter 6, verse 43 of Mark. They took up 12 basketfuls. There was more than enough. And what happened was when this boy had the faith to surrender what he had to the Lord and put it in his hands, one little basket that was nothing among those people, but yet when he surrendered that, Jesus fed the multitude, 5,000, right, and beyond. There was more than that. I was just counting the men, right, and women and children. And then there was, when they picked up what was left over, there were 12 baskets left over. Are y'all getting this? So there's a basket mentality. Talking about an attitude of generosity, what our mentality is, and what our understanding is of how God will meet the needs of our life. What a contrast this boy was to the disciples. Notice, number one, the disciples, they tried to escape the problem. They said, send them away that they can go and buy bread for themselves. Your faith grows only by facing your problems and looking to God for the answers. And so then the next thing you see is they didn't know what they had. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So God says, what do you have? What do you have? Now, in this story, it's 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? A couple sardines and some biscuits, right? But what do you have that you can give to the Lord? When you look at what you have, say, well, I don't have much. But when it's given to the Lord, whether it's your talents, whether it's your times, whether it's your ability, whatever you have, whatever your gifts are, you give that to the Lord and look at what the Lord can do with it. Moses had a rod and it parted the Red Sea. David had a slingshot, but it brought down a giant. You might not know it, but God has given you the answer in your hands. It's in your hands, and when you give it unto the Lord, look what he is able to do with it. But there's a fear factor involved in that. What will I do? We give that to the Lord. Factor God into the equation, and then God will bless you with more than enough. Then look at the fourth thing, the barn mentality. And this is a place that hopefully we can all get to a place where we can arrive. And that is that there is infinitely more than enough. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The story that would really illustrate this was the story of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 56, it says, Joseph opened the storehouses or the barns and sold grain to the Egyptians. And so these people are people that have, we're talking about a barn mentality. God used Joseph to feed the nations during a time of worldwide famine. And when Pharaoh's advisors couldn't interpret his dream, Joseph did. And he actually gave Pharaoh a plan that would not only feed Egypt during 7 years of famine, but also feed the world and cause Pharaoh to come out of a crisis as a richer man. God's blessings, right? He can give you not only the wisdom to survive, but thrive when you're in a recession. But you can't build such a relationship with God overnight. Now look at this. Joseph, his journey to the throne led him through years of delay, detours, and discouragement. So sometimes we step up and say, well, I tried that. That didn't work. But look at this. Joseph had a relationship with God. He experienced, but in that journey, he experienced betrayal at the hands of his family, temptation, and slander at the hands of his employer's wife, false imprisonment, years of waiting and wondering when God would fulfill his promise to make him a leader, but he never doubted God. And you and I must not either. If God could take an ex-con like Joseph and make him the prime minister of Egypt, no obstacle, no enemy can keep him from fulfilling his promises to you. So if you're a bad person, listen to this. If you're a bad person, consider your ways and start putting God first in your finances. If you're a bend person, don't be afraid. Give, and God will give back to you. If you're a basket person, place what you have, what you've got into God's hands and watch him multiply it. And if you're a barn person, listen to this, if you're a barn person with a heart that longs to meet the needs of a hurting world, nothing your enemies do will stop you. Can I get a good amen? All right. So here's the point of all this. We are more, you're going to be, it's, as it's been said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So it's one thing to be thankful, but when you move into thanksgiving, in other words, I have and I've received, and now I'm ready to give back. And I know you're thinking thanksgiving is just saying, thank you. But can I tell you, it's more than that. It's offering our life to God as an offering of thanksgiving to him and saying, God, I give you everything I have. I give you my finances. I give you my family. I give you my possessions. I give you my house, my clothes, my job. I give it all to you, and I recognize that my job is not my source, but you are my source. I recognize my stock is not my source, but you're my source. I realize that what's in my bag is not what's going to sustain me. It's you that's going to sustain me, God. It's not my intelligence and my abilities and my talents that's going to cause me to make it. It's my trust in Almighty God, and he's the one that's able to bless our life. Come on. Amen. He's the one that's able to sustain us, right? And I'm telling you, he is faithful. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. Have you ever read in the Bible where the prophet was fed by the raven? Now, a raven, a bird, that the nature of that bird is not to give food, okay? The nature of that bird is to take food and eat food. But yet, God changed the nature of a bird to bring a bag lunch to a prophet every day. I don't know if it was bagged, okay, everybody? But it was, I'm telling you, he had a Tacoma sack. You know, that's what they have at Steak and Shake. Tacoma sack, you know, take home a sack. Anyway, the bird was able to give the prophet what he needed. I just want to tell you, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, we read that scripture, but go back and look at it in context. It's talking about when we are faithful to him, when we give to him. When we put him first, God has the ability to bless the rest. And I know right now some of you are evaluating. You're evaluating your situation. That doesn't work, Pastor. It doesn't work for me. I'm giving you some good pastoral preaching this morning, okay? Because what I'm giving you is not my opinion. It's the Word of God. And you can build your life upon it. And it works. And it's kind of like the person who said, well, God doesn't heal. But they said that to a person that God had healed. And the person's response is, you've come too late to tell me that God doesn't heal. Guess what? I've tried him. In fact, the Bible says, try me and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room enough to receive when you're faithful in your tithes and your offerings. Some of you can barely make it. Some of you look and say, got holes in the bag, I'm not making it. Some of you can barely make it. Come on, but some of you need to just take the step of faith to know that when you put it in his hands, there's something miraculous that happens, and God's going to take care of you, right? And what you say, well, you're talking foolishness, Pastor. I'm not talking foolishness. I'm talking principles for living your life. And as long as you constantly look in your bag as the source, you'll never have enough. You'll never have enough. As long as you look in that bin and say, there's not enough flour, but one for one meal, that's it. You're never going to make it. But when you put your faith and your trust in God, everything changes. Do you become an overnight millionaire? No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying God is faithful and he'll take care of you. I won't ever have any more problems than in that area of my life anymore. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God is faithful. And like David said, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. Amen, everybody? So we are full of thanks, but we must give thanks. And we can give it in so many ways, so many ways. And one of those ways, I know we're thinking finances, and I think sometimes we want to say, okay, let me skip over that and get to other things. But let me just lay it down right there. Hey, it's also talking about our finances, our giving to the Lord, our honoring the Lord with our first fruits. And when we do that, I'm telling you, God has the ability, you're giving him right to bless the rest when we honor him. Start where you are, but honor him, honor him. You know, be a percentage giver. If you feel like you can't give a tenth, give a percentage. Decide what you can give until you can get up to a tenth. Now, that's difficult for me to say because I was always raised, it's a tenth. I mean, it's not mine. In fact, the Bible never says give your tithes. It just says bring your tithes. The reason it says that, you can't give what doesn't belong to you. It only says bring it because it already belongs to God. And I decided from very young, I will not spend what is his. In fact, it's not just about the amount. It's about the order. So I don't wait until see if there's enough for him at the end. No, he's at the beginning. You know, it's interesting. Uncle Sam gets on the beginning, don't they? But anyway, God needs to be at the beginning. That means I own the gross. I give him first fruit of everything I earn. And I know y'all might be looking at me like, you're a little strange, Pastor. Listen, this is what I do and have done. And I'm not saying it to brag. I'm saying that to set an example. From the time I was young, if I got a bottle off the street, y'all don't know what that means, but anyway, we get glass bottles back in the day, and we'd take them to parking shop, come on, and put them in there for the bottle return, and you get a dime out of that bottle for returning that bottle. It'd say on there, get a dime back if you turn the bottle in. You know, well, I would give a penny if I made a dime, right? So we said, well, that's easy when it's just a dime, Pastor, but when it's $1,000, that's $100. Guess what? It's the same percentage. God's equal, right? Right? One man said he was a millionaire, and he said, man, when I was barely making it, I mean, when I was younger and I wasn't making much, it was easy for me to tithe, but now I'm a millionaire, I can't give like I was. And somebody said, well, we need to get down and pray that God will bring you back to where you were before so you can start tithing again. I mean, come on, y'all, lighten up. This isn't about a pastor trying to get in your pocket. And for some of you watching online, maybe some of you know me, some of you may not. But this isn't about that. This is about, in fact, again, it's not about God needing your money. See, the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God doesn't want you, he wants you. He wants you. And so when you put him first in your life, come on, you're investing in what matters. And God has you, there's a relationship there that happens in that process of giving. In fact, we're going to, and I really want this to be a life-giving message today. I really do. Because I think sometimes this subject has been very, very, very abused by people and by ministers. very much abused. And I'm not here to abuse you or God's word. But I do believe that this is an area that a lot of people struggle in. And so my motivation, my goal in all this is to help you find liberty and freedom in this area. Because the devil oftentimes, it's like a chain around you that just weights you down. And you never can get ahead. And you feel like you can never make a difference because you got too much issues in this area. I want to help free you from that. So here's what we're going to do. Next month, I'm going to give a three-part series, and it's titled Financial Peace on Earth. Okay? You've heard the course Financial Peace, and I encourage you next semester when we do small groups, get into the Financial Peace small group. Dwayne Stone will be leading that. Dwayne and Karen will be leading that. And I encourage you to get into that small group as that happens. And they're going to give you some principles, Dave Ramsey stuff, good stuff. But I believe during the Christmas season, it's a little different. I started to do this last year, and I went a different direction. But I really believe this is a time that we need this. A lot of people are stressed out because of finances and pulled in every direction. And this is a tough area. I know it's a sensitive area. But what I want to do is, in a very life-giving way, the next 3 weeks, talk about how God can give you peace in this area, right? But so let me move off of that, because it's not just tithe and offerings. There's also alms, and that's giving of ourselves and our time, our talents, and things to other people. And we've done this in the past, and I want to give you something today to take with you. And as you leave, you can grab some of these. There will be some people at the doors handing these out. And these are acts of kindness cards. And I want to encourage you, this is a tangible way where you can get, look, you can go beyond just holding it in your bag, but this is a place where you can bless someone else, okay? And there's a spillover. Let me just pause right here, because I want you to see this. I was talking to Pastor Steve Guptill about this earlier in the message. I said, listen to these four areas, the bag, the bin, the basket, and the barn that we went through, and see if you don't hear something in this today. There's four things that we do around here, and it's salvation. We want people to know God, right? Second thing is that we want people to find freedom. That's why we have small groups. And then we want people to discover purpose. That's why we have the growth track. And then there's a fourth thing that we do. We want people to make a difference. And when I look, and so now they know why they're here, what their purpose is, we go make a difference. I look at this thing of our finances, and I think sometimes we could look at that in the same way. The bag, we're holding it all ourselves, trying to make it work. When salvation is about letting go and letting God, right? Putting Him first, that's what that's about. So, and then... This bin of, I barely can make it. I got issues of my own, okay? We want you to experience freedom. So there's salvation, there's freedom. And then this basket mentality is, okay, now I understand my purpose. I'm the little boy handing the fish to Jesus. I got a role to play in this. I'm going to make a difference. And what happens the next thing? I can make a difference. And so then we get into the barn where, hey, man, our barns are overflowing, where work can be a blessing. What I pray is, as a church, we can go from the bag, come on, out of the duct tape mentality, from the bin, come on to the basket, come on to the barn, so our church is blessed and is a blessing. I was honestly, well, come on, give Him praise for that. I was thinking before certs began, you do the same thing with your finances. You get numbers running around your head. I got to have this ready for the mortgage, and I got to have this payment, and the lights bill's coming up. Oh, no, my car's broke. I got to fix this. And you get, and you're calculating things. I was calculating before service, and I thought to myself, what we need monthly here. And I sensed the Lord speak to my spirit. I can give you that weekly. And I'm believing for that. I'm believing the amount that we need monthly, we're going to have weekly. Why is that important? It's important because I don't want to just barely make it and get by. I want us to be a blessing. I want us to be a barn church. Come on, we're just going to be the barn church. We're going to put a sign out front, the barn church, okay? We want to be a barn church where everybody who's in lack and in famine and in want will say, oh my goodness, there's a place where I can go and I can be fed and I can be ministered to. May we have that kind of a church. I pray that this church will not be a church that just holds the bag, but a church that will be the most giving church in our area. Can anybody give me a good amen right there? I want us to be a life-giving church, not a life-taking church. In fact, everything I've presented to you today is not that we want anything out of you. We want everything for you. Again, you're going to be more blessed when you have a giving mentality. God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he, what? He gave. May God give us the nature of God and be the most giving people on the planet. Amen? In fact, a couple weeks ago, this church did something, a random act of kindness. We had our cooking small group actually did a service project and spent an evening baking cupcakes, almost 200 cupcakes we baked on one evening, and took them across the street and served them to the Pride of Niner Nation marching band at UNC Charlotte. And I got an email, by the way, from the from Dr. Miller, the director, wanting to thank you and express how much it meant to them and us supporting them. And I want to tell you, it made a difference. And it may say, well, that's just simple, a little cupcake. Can I tell you, little is much when God is in it. When you take what you have and you quit looking at what I don't have, but you look at who he is and you put it in his hands, it will make a difference. So let me give you something. Take this act of kindness card and use this. What this is a random act of kindness. And what it simply says is something extra to show you God loves you. By the way, always connect an act of kindness to God, right? I mean, make it count. Let them know who's the source of it, all right? And so we've got our church on the back so there can be a connection, a God connection there. It's not just random from somebody. This is God using us to make a difference in the lives of others. Let me give you some practical ways, if I can, for just a moment, of how that you can use this card, because I want you to take this with you. So let me just kind of give you some ideas. Here's an idea. Deliver fresh cookies to a neighbor or coworker, or cupcakes to a band, a marching band. There you go. All right. Bring fresh flowers to someone. Attach the card. Just want to let you know God loves you, right? Offer to babysit for free. There you go. I heard a mother say amen right there. All right. All right. Mow someone's yard for free. Everybody say for free. Life-giving church we have here. Pay for someone's coffee behind you in a drive-thru, right? Pay for someone's fast food meal behind you in a drive-thru. I heard about someone doing this, and the person they gave the card to, that was going to be their last meal. And they were going to go home and end it all. And they got that card, and it gave them hope. And they called the church, came to the church, and gave their life to Christ. Don't underestimate the little thing. Don't underestimate the 5 loaves and 2 fish when you put it in Jesus' hand, the potential of what it can do. Amen, everybody? So, hey, man, I'm feeling this. This is good stuff. All right, so send a note of encouragement to someone. My wife does that sometimes. You know, she's told me before, I can't do this, can't do that. I said, don't underestimate a little note. What it means to somebody, right? Write a note to someone for encouragement. Insert the card. Give baked goods or a small gift to the postman or delivery person. Now, I didn't write this, okay? I got this from a church that's doing this also. But I think that's a great one right there. All right. For those of you watching online, I happen to be the postman. But anyway, I'll ask my other job. Okay, leave a big tip for your server at a restaurant. Leave a honking tip. You know what a honking tip is? Come on. It's like the same amount the meal was, right? Come on, bless somebody. Leave the card, right? Pay for someone's movie that is behind you in line. Help someone who you know is struggling financially. Pay for someone's meal or dessert at a restaurant, right? Bake goodies and take them to the police station. We've actually done that one. And the fire station. We've done that one. Or the hospital. We've done that one. Come on, let's do it again. All right, everybody? Make a difference. Take a box of donuts to a school office, a school or an office, or to my office. I don't care. You know, just bring them. You know, you'll be blessed, right? Cook a meal for a neighbor or a coworker, right? Just acts of kindness that we can do to make a difference. Is that okay, everybody? Come on, bow your heads with me for just a moment. God, give us a heart of gratitude. But God, then help us to have a hand of generosity. Move us from being just thankful to being a thanksgiving people. a thanksgiving church. Lord, move us from the area of not enough to just enough to more than enough. God, to even beyond that to where it's infinitely more than enough. I pray, Father, that you would help us to demonstrate the love of God to those around us to make a difference. But Jesus, I'm so thankful that for your gift of life to us, and that you demonstrated your love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Oh God, we could never outgive you. Thank you for the honor that we have to, in some small way, express to you back our gratitude. My heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Like expressed before, it may be the reason you can't be fully thankful to the measure you need to be is that maybe you haven't rightly understood what God has done for you. There's that verse that says that God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So that means that God didn't wait till you got it together before he started loving you. He loves you when you're unlovable. He loves you when you're going the opposite direction of him. He loves you and he reaches out to you today to give you hope. When your way's not working and when your life feels like it's just got holes in it, God has an offer for you today. And that is that he's enough and he's more than enough for you. If you'd like to just know that you're in a relationship with him, you'd like him to come and heal you, but not only just heal you, but you'd like to experience the healer. You'd like to go from not just being blessed, but knowing the blesser and then becoming a blessing. I want to give you an opportunity where it all starts, and that's this place called salvation, where we reorder our life to reflect that he's first and saying, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. And you want to make sure of that. I want to pray with you, and if you need to pray this prayer with me, right now, what I want you to do, while heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, I'm not going to have you come to the front or embarrass you. I'm just right where you're seated. I just want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you, you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you just slip up a hand right now and just let me know who I'm praying with? Yes, yes. God bless you today. Proud of you. Good job. Good job. And if you need to pray this prayer, I just want you to join with us. Come on, right now. I'd like everybody just to pray this for support. I'm just going to help you with the words, but I want you just to pray this and mean it in your heart. And let's put God first. Say something like this. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me. Now I offer my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, paying my debts so I wouldn't have to. Thank you for offering me life. Today I open my heart. I receive that life. I receive you into my heart. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Come on, say this. I give you my life. And I today, God, I will follow you for the rest of my life as you enable me, Lord. Thank you for saving me today. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for life. God, I thank you for every person who just prayed that today. And God, together we just thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of life. This gift that we're going to celebrate as we go into Christmas season. Oh God, what a wonderful gift, the gift of life. So that when we stand before you now, God, having received this gift of life, we stand before you complete, and you see not our sins, you see not our path, you see your son Jesus. God, you see your son Jesus. You see us, God, in the completed work of your son Jesus, and we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you for that today. God, I thank you for that. We celebrate changed lives today, and God, we pray for this church. God, make us a barn church. Make us a giving church. Make us a church, God, that explodes, oh Lord, with your love and with your kindness, with your mercy, with your grace. And God, let us make that difference, Lord, that is an eternal difference. May we see lives change, God. And we thank you for changed lives forever today. We give you all the credit for all accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today. We bless you today. We bless you today.